From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Be of Good Cheer. The text is John chapter 16 and verse 33. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. My Lord's words are true as to the tribulation. I have my share of it beyond all doubt. The flail is not hung up out of the way, nor can I hope that it will be laid aside so long as I lie upon the threshing floor. How can I look to be at home in the enemy's country, joyful while in exile, or comfortable in a wilderness? This is not my rest. This is the place of the furnace and the forge and the hammer. My experience tallies with my Lord's words. I note how he bids me be of good cheer. Alas, I am far too apt to be downcast. My spirit soon sinks when I am sorely tried. But I must not give way to this feeling. When my Lord bids me cheer up, I must not dare to be cast down. What is the argument which he uses to encourage me? Why, it is his own victory. He says, I have overcome the world. His battle was much more severe than mine. I have not yet resisted unto blood. Why do I despair of overcoming? See, my soul, the enemy has been once overcome. I fight with a beaten foe. O world, Jesus has already vanquished thee, and in me, by his grace, he will overcome thee again. Therefore am I of good cheer, and sing unto my conquering Lord.
Onward, upward, marching as to war. Marching, onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the sing. Onward, Christian soul. soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Onward, upward, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message called Judgment According to Works, another portion on the theme, The Principles of Divine Judgment. We've seen that the judgment of God is according to truth. Then it is according to the character of the judge, the holy, righteous, and unchangeable God. In this message, Dr. Cairns has been demonstrating that the judgment of God is according to works. The text is Romans chapter 2, verse 6, where we read that God will render to every man according to his deeds. This verse presents the solemn truth that what we do in time has eternal implications. According to verse 7, those who are truly saved continue in well-doing, or in good works throughout their Christian lives. The passage also reveals that born-again people are seeking for glory. That is, they are seeking eternal life. God's people recognize that the only thing in this life that matters is living for God's glory, and to hear the Savior say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now to conclude this message, Judgment According to Works, here is Dr. Cairns.
The only true pursuit of an immortal soul is the eternal God. And Christians yearning for God's glory yearn therefore for a complete sanctification into His image. We admit, like Paul in Romans 7, that we do feel, and the things we do we don't approve of, and the things we want to do we don't end up doing. So often there's this contradiction, and we feel our failure, as even the great apostle did at times. But nonetheless, our heart's desire is, oh, that I may be transformed from glory to glory into the very image of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 tells me that's the sanctifying work of the Spirit of God through the Word. And that's our desire. As John puts it in 1 John 3, verse 3, at that day of Christ's coming, we will be like Him. Like Him. For we'll see Him as He is. That's glory. That's glory. Glory is not the diadems of time. Glory is not the laurel wreaths of human attainment. Glory is to be transformed into the absolute likeness of Christ. That's what a Christian yearns for. That's the good work in which he persists. A great French commentator, Frederick Godet, said of glory, "This glory for which we desire long, it's an existence without defilement or weakness, resplendent throughout with the divine brightness of holiness and power." The honor that a Christian desires is the favor of God. It's that, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I confess again, as I have done many times, and I hope it doesn't become boring, but if it does, I can't do much to help it. Young people don't, well, they should, but so often we don't give enough thought to this. I thought that I thought about this as a young preacher, and I think I did think about it. But seeing the end a lot nearer than it ever was before, I have come many a time with trembling on my knees before God. Lord, is there anything? Is there anything in these 40 years of preaching, is there anything that will elicit, "Well done"? I've had people come to tell me they've been blessed, and I thank God for that. I've had people come to tell me they think I'm a wonderful preacher. I don't understand that. I've had people come to tell me my preaching stinks, and I can't understand that. At the end of the day, I really don't much care. I'd rather you were blessed than they weren't. As I think of going out to meet my God, I wonder, is there anything over which he will say, well done, good and faithful servant? That's what we seek. That's the only honor worth living for. The immortality, the word means incorruption. It's a word that has the idea of the full resurrection life of the saints, the incorruptible and the irreversible entrance of the saints into the final inheritance that they have in light. It is heaven with all its treasure and with all its pleasure. Jesus used a different word in Matthew 6, but the idea is the same. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. There is a place of incorruptible treasure and immortal pleasure. That's the true definition of eternal life. And that's what Christians seek. The unsaved, ultimately, for all their religion, ultimately they're rooted for themselves, for this world. Whereas God's people are rooted in Christ and the world to come. And can I say one last thing about the Christians and their reward? This is, in many ways, the most glorious part. They receive everything they seek for. They get everything they seek for. They're seeking eternal life, and you'll notice that God gives them, verse 10, glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, the Jew first and also to the Gentile. I said I would refer again to Isaiah 3. And this is where I'll do it. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him. Say to the Christian, say to the justified man, say to the man whose focus is on eternity, whose yearning is after God, whose trust is in Christ, and the proof of whose faith is in his persistence in this good work. Say to him, it shall be well. Satan may come and say you're not good enough for heaven. Listen, this whole thing is not about your being good enough for heaven. Christ is good enough for heaven. Christ is the one who merits heaven. Christ is the one who gets us to glory. Christ is the one who covers us with his blood and with his righteousness. It's through him that we get to heaven. This is to set you free to work that good work, not to merit heaven, but because you're going to heaven. The devil might say you're not good enough. Listen, say to the righteous, it shall be well. It shall be well. Eternally well. Well with your soul for all eternity. Say to the righteous, he doesn't pray in vain. He doesn't live in vain. He doesn't witness in vain. He may think he has seen nothing through years of service. You may feel like a Jeremiah, an utter failure. You may see everything you cherish dashed into the dust of the ground. But say to the righteous, it will be well. He will eat the fruit of his doings. Oh, what an encouragement to keep on keeping on doing good. Mother, are you praying for a poor errant son? Pray on! you'll eat the fruit of your doings. Father, are you preaching? Are you witnessing? Are you showing by your life to an ungodly family, father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, the way of life? And Satan tells you it's all in vain. Listen, it shall be well. Keep at the work of God, for you shall eat the fruit of your doings. Are you holding on to Christ and the standard of his gospel in an age of apostasy, in an age when it is not the popular thing to stand for God? Are you taking a lonely stand outside the camp and the world says you're a fool and you've lost a whole lot because of your fidelity to Christ? Listen, say to the righteous, it shall be well with them, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Heaven is not a disappointment. Heaven is not a disappointment. It's the place where God, to use the idea of Ephesians chapter 2, in the kindness of his grace toward us, gives us all that Christ has purchased. All that the infinite wisdom of God can devise for the holy pleasure of his people. Think of that. When unsullied by sin, not distracted by our folly, even now beyond temptation, we be with him and like him in the full embrace of our Father's love and perfect provision. There is a reward for every Christian according to his labor. In the light of this, believer, can you waste whatever time you've left in the trivialities that so often would force themselves upon you? In the light of all this, should we not stand back and with Paul say, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? In the light of this, will we not say in the hymn we so often sing, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated unto thee. There is a reward. I will postpone till next week the second point. How important it is for sinners. It's a different story. Not a reward we're talking about, but the wages of sin. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven and God of love, we own thy power to save, that power by which our Savior rose victorious from the grave. Use that power, we pray. Lord, we fear, as was prayed at the beginning, we cannot preach men into Christ. We fear, O God, that there are people here tonight who have enough religion to stultify their conscience. They're not facing up to the judgment of God. Oh God, bring the unsaved to see their need and bring them to see their Savior. Bring them to Christ. Lord, revive my heart. Revive every Christian's heart. Lord, revive this church's spiritual life. Oh, God, let us live with eternity's values in view. We commit this all to Thee. We love Thee because Thou hast first loved us. And Lord, we admire the grace of God that could make a way of salvation for sinners and impute the righteousness of Christ to us by faith. Help us to go out in the rejoicing spirit that such a gospel creates within us, to live the Christian life to the full. Part us now with Thy blessing. Grant that grace and mercy and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior, and the Holy Spirit our Comforter may be our portion now and evermore. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.